Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we're going to have a catechetical sermon, one that teaches us deeper about the faith that we share. The Lutheran Church is a church that focuses on God's means of grace. While God could have chosen to simply snap his fingers and say, "You have faith, now you have faith, now you have faith," that is not what he has chosen to do. Rather, he has chosen to work through these means, the means of grace. To break down the words means of grace, we have two additional things here. We have the word and the sacraments. Now, if you sat in one of my confirmation classes, you have heard me say this time and time again, and you should never forget it. These are the means that God gives his life-giving faith. The word, the law, and the gospel. The law is used by God for three main uses. It acts as a curb. That is, it is God's word to keep us on a given path so that we don't go off to harm ourselves or others. It works as a mirror, for it shows us our sins. And it works as a rule or guide to show us how we as God's children are called by him to live. We see this a bit in Luther's catechetical hymn for the Ten Commandments, a hymn that we sang during the lessons. I know this is one of the favorites that we have at home. Think about these words. "You have this law to see therein that you have not been free from sin, but also that you clearly see how pure toward God life should be. Have mercy, Lord. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. Forgive us, Lord. To Christ we flee, who pleads for us endlessly. Have mercy, Lord." The law reminds us that we cannot attain heaven by ourselves. Our works will constantly fail us apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ. It merits only pain. If I try to earn heaven myself on my own actions, I will fail. Every single day I fail at keeping God's word purely and perfectly. So we use the law to remind us of this, so that we might see our sin and know that apart from God, we don't deserve any good thing. But he doesn't leave us in that, for he also tells us that while our works merit only endless pain, that we cry out to God to forgive us. And when we cry out to him, he hears our prayer, and he does it. So instead of fleeing in ourselves, looking at ourselves to have salvation, we look to the cross. We see the God who took on flesh to suffer and die in our stead. There is the God-man who lived the perfect life for you and for me. When we have failed, he was full of faith. When we have stricken God, he was stricken by God. All of these things done for us out of love. So we have the law. We know that we need a Savior. And then we have the gospel that tells us about that Savior. Jesus Christ, God who took on flesh, God who lived the perfect life, God who went to the cross to have nails pierce him, to have a crown of thorns gouging his head, and to finally have a spear driven into his side, that we might have the forgiveness of sins. That is why we are gathered here today. To have this word read to us. To have this word proclaimed to us. For you see, the word of God is a necessary seed. It is the very thing that gives life. God uses his word. When it is read, when it is proclaimed, when it is read out loud, God uses his word. The Holy Spirit delivers it. Now, not every single person who hears the word of God will be saved. But we do know that the word does what God sends it out to do. We know this from Isaiah's writings. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. From Psalm 60, we are reminded of these words. O God, you have rejected us. You have broken our defenses. You have been angry. God, in his just wrath, is angry at us. The atrocious things that we do individual, as a community, as a state, as a country, as Western civilization, and as a world. For we have turned our hearts away from him, and we have turned to the wickedness that is our sinful desires. God destroys those defenses. And at the last, God will utterly wipe them off to ever be seen again. But these words remind us of his hope. Oh, restore us. God will not leave us in our sins and iniquities. Rather, he will call us out of those things. He will restore us to himself. For all of his just wrath and anger was poured out upon the cross, that what we receive today is blessings and benefits of Christ's work. It is true that Jesus won the forgiveness of sins for all men on the cross, and then he distributes it through his word read and preached, through his sacraments administered, through the waters of baptism, through the words of the pastor's absolution, and through his body and blood. These are the means of his grace. He sends his word out, and it does not return to him void. For when his word is proclaimed, while not every single person who hears it will be brought to faith, some will. We see the truth of this in our gospel lesson. Jesus tells a parable. He says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So far, the words aren't very beneficial for us. Not a whole lot of hope there. But then he continues, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. The disciples say, Lord, you need to tell us what this means. We do not understand. And then Jesus actually tells us about his word. You see, his word gives life. And while at times we don't completely comprehend every theological thing in the scriptures, we do know everything that we need for salvation. But some reading God's word do not see it. And Jesus says that this is why. To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. The only reason we can grasp anything from the scriptures is because God, the Holy Spirit, is there giving us a lens to read his word by. Apart from his Holy Spirit, we cannot take anything away from God's word. And so we use the Spirit to read his word, to be built up in the faith. So Jesus explains the parable, and these words are written for us. He says the seed is the word of God. That word that goes out and does not return to the Lord without doing what he has purposed. He has elected those whom will receive that gift with rejoicing. He has chosen you, dear children, to be his sons and daughters. But Jesus explains this parable. He says, those by the wayside are those who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. The devil is hard at work in our current culture, in our society. The devil builds a giant nest around your ears to try to block you from hearing God's word. The devil whispers loudly in your ears, telling you, you don't need what God said. Did God really say that? What he really meant was this. He just wants you to be happy. That's not what God's word says. God lays out his will for our lives. And we are called to preach that word, whether men like it or not. You see, all of the scriptures are God's holy word. They are without error. We cannot pick and choose what we want from it. We cannot go with what society desires us to proclaim. Sure, it might help gain friends, but it will not win souls for Jesus. So that seed is the word of God. That seed, that word of God, is necessary. It is necessary to be read. Plant it in your hearts. Never let it go. And so the devil comes to snatch it away. We see that. We have whole church bodies that are devoted to following our society rather than God's word. Do not allow it. Trust instead in God. He goes on to say, there are ones who are on the rock. They are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Oftentimes, the entertaining aspect of God's services can drive a person to church. But after a while, without any root grounded in the word of God, it withers and falls away. So we are here not to have small roots, but to be grounded in the faith. Week after week, we sing God's word in his liturgy, that that word may ever find a deeper foothold in us. He goes on also to talk about those who have received it, but fall among thorns. And when they are going for a while, the thorns rise up and they choke the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. How long have we seen confirmation the way it is? How long have we seen child after child get confirmed only for their parents not to bring them back to church until Christmas comes? It has been for far too long. In fact, the synod only has a third retention rate of confirmands. We must do better because the world is seeking to devour your children's faith. The faith of your grandchildren. The world, the devil, and their sinful nature seek to devour those things. It seeks to choke out the pleasure that we have in God's word. After confirmation, children need to hear the word of God week after week. Confirmation is not somehow an end to a parent's journey for their child. Rather, it is a new beginning. It is a new confession that this child will swear before everyone that they would rather suffer death than fall away from the faith. And then we send them off into a godless world of drinking and carousing and all of those things that will seek to choke out their faith. Yes, we must do better. And we can. Catechesis must begin in the home. Catechesis should begin even before your child can speak. While that child is yet in his mother's womb, he should hear the word of God week after week, day after day. Pray out loud with your child. Let them hear the word of God that God may give them the faith, that God may water their faith. That is a parent's responsibility. Encourage them, not just for the few years of confirmation, but for their whole life. And encourage your children to marry Christians, those who will encourage them in their faith, those who will encourage them by attending church with them, who will study God's word with them, who will sing the hymns of the church with them. The life quote for today is an important one. Pastor Jeske writes, if your boyfriend or girlfriend won't go to church with you while you are dating, he or she probably won't when you're married either. How long can you keep your faith life going if your spouse thinks praying, Bible reading, and church going are stupid wastes of time? Abraham went to great lengths to find a believing wife for Isaac. Now, I know that you don't get to personally pick the spouse for your children. Boy, I wish that were the case. But I do know that what you say does have an impact, even when you think your children aren't listening. Encourage them in the faith. Help direct them to a spouse that will also encourage them in the faith. And while I wish that everybody could be a Missouri Synod Lutheran, I know that that isn't the case. And that's why you need to encourage them to bring that person to confirmation classes too. Let's fill the world with Missouri Synod Lutherans. But even if we can't, let at least be faith found in each and every one of them. Have them have a spouse who will go with them to church week after week, who even when they are exhausted will say, "Dear, let us go to the house of the Lord and be built up in our faith together. Let us raise our children, a firm foundation, that their seed may grow deep roots, that even in the storm of this world, it cannot be blown away." That is the last group that our Lord talks about in this parable. For he says, "But the ones who fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." This world does not want you to have faith, but God does. Don't listen to the world. Listen to him. And bear the good fruits of your faith with patience, that others may see him through you. The church sings, "Preach you the word and plant it home to men who like or like it not, the word that shall endure and stand when flowers and men shall be forgot." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.